Shanti, 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 peace. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
If you came here to listen to a lecture or a sermon, you came to the wrong place. If you came here to listen to words of wisdom, you came to the wrong place. If you came here to listen to total ignorance, you came to the right place. What I have to share with you is total ignorance, not wisdom. Wisdom presupposes there's something to learn, there's something to understand, there's something to attain. Ignorance is you know nothing. We're here to know nothing, not to know something. Anybody can know something. We're all filled with some things. We're filled with preconceived ideas, with dogmas, all kinds of garbage since we were children. We do not wish to add anything onto this. It'll just make us greater idiots. We want to unlearn, to empty the garbage pail, so to speak, of all of our beliefs, all of our concepts, all these things that tell you that you're a human being and you have a goal to achieve. All of these things must go. What will remain? Pure consciousness, the self, pure awareness, boundless space, the ultimate reality, which really has no name. Again, these are just words. Many of you have been listening to words since you were children. Words from politicians, from teachers, from priests, from rabbis. What has it done for you? Where are you now? Perhaps it has built up your ego, make you feel important, you have a good position in life. Fighting for your rights, fighting for survival, trying to make it in this world. To what avail? Where will it all lead you? Before you know it, you'll be 6 feet under. Then who cares? The whole idea of spiritual life is to awaken now to your own reality. Not wait until you die to go to heaven, or to try to find some secret works that will make you feel better. Now is the only time. There is no other time. This moment, you're either there or you're not. If you're not, you're nowhere. And if you're there, you're nowhere. You're always nowhere because there's nowhere to go. You're looking to go somewhere. This is what brings misery and unhappiness. When you're looking to become something, to be somebody, to be somewhere. But if you're nobody, nowhere, then you are the eternal mystery itself. As we begin to discover, as Advaita Vedanta, spiritual life, non-duality, we begin to learn that we are to identify with the source and disown the world. This is a sort of mistake, this is erroneous, this is not really true. Many people involved in non-duality principles, non-duality teachings, believe they have to not react to the world. The world is Maya, the world is an illusion. And identify with the source, consciousness. Yet the reality is, who is identifying with the source? In truth, we do not identify with anything. We do not identify or react to this world. Yet we do not identify with a source or with consciousness or with God or anything else. For you're using the same mind to do both, don't you see? The whole idea of a truth teaching like this is to transcend the mind totally, absolutely, and completely. For when the mind is transcended, real unalloyed happiness will be yours. Peace that you never dreamed of. Bliss and joy that you never knew existed. These are yours. When there's non-identification. But when we try to identify with the source of life, which you may call God, or the absolute reality, you're making a grave mistake. For again, it is the mind that is doing all of this. The mind says, I'm going to identify with God. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to do yoga. I'm going to do pranayama. I'm going to do mantras. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to practice Kundalini. Who does all this? Where does it come from? It's all from the mind. So why did I go for the gusto in the beginning? Why did I get rid of the mind? Forget about everything else. All these practices are really to no avail. You and I know people who have been meditating for 30, 40 years, practicing Tantra, yoga, practicing Kundalini, practicing all kinds of things. And they're still all screwed up. They're searching and searching and searching, becoming efficient in their practices, to what avail? The whole idea is to remove all of these things from the mind. To cause the mind to become still and empty. Then everything takes care of itself. So the teaching is to become still. Not to think. Never think about God. What do you know about God? Only what people have told you. Have you ever had an experience of your own? If you had an experience of your own, you would realize that there is no God. It's a concept. To whom do you pray? To those of you who pray. Where is this God that you're praying to? Up in the sky? Where does this God live? Rather, what you should be doing is asking yourself, who am I? Where did I come from? What you're really saying is, where did I come from? not speaking of yourself, you're speaking of I. Where did I come from? The I thought. Where did the I thought come from? That's what you should work with. That's what you should do. Everything in this world is attached to the I thought. I am something, I am nothing. I am good, I am bad. I am happy, I am sad. It is all the I thought. If you remove the I thought, what will be left? Reality. So your job is to remove the I thought. You do this by becoming still, absolutely still. Quiet. You stop arguing, you stop trying to prove points. You stop trying to get anywhere. For there's nowhere to get, there's nothing to prove, there's nothing to achieve. You are already that. You've always been that. You are nothing else but that. But when the I comes into play, it makes you believe you're something else. Makes you believe you're important. You're somebody special. When in truth you're really dust in the wind. Here today and gone tomorrow. We stick up for our rights. We do all these silly things for what avail? Where does it lead us? Where does it get us? True spiritual life begins with you. Not with anything else outside of you, but with you. It's all within you. The only thing you know for sure is that you exist. You know that you exist, there's no doubt about this. Everything else you're not sure about. So you start with yourself. You inquire within yourself, who am I? Again, you're asking, where does the I come from? This is what my means. What is the source of the I? From where did it arrive? As you inquire this way, a profound peace comes over you. And you go deeper and deeper within the self. Until reality appears. You become happier, you become peaceful, you become still. Things no longer disturb you. Thoughts come up, you inquire to whom they come. as I'm speaking to some of you, thoughts are coming into your mind. You're thinking of certain things. This is the only problem you've got. You're thinking. You're allowing your mind that's been conditioned for so many years to tell you what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad. You're allowing yourself to think. Your mind's in control. When you like it or not, your mind's in control. All of your beliefs shape your universe the way it appears to you today. The universe in which you live has no existence of its own. It doesn't exist by itself. You give it existence. It is you who have created this whole universe. It has come out of your concepts, your beliefs, your ideas, and now you're living in a universe of your own creation. You have done this to yourself. If you don't like what you see, do not try to change things externally. You cannot do this. If you try to change things externally, you will always suffer in the end. For the external world is a creation of you. The world is a replica of yourself. The world is always in a state of flux. Always changing, changing, changing. It changes into your beliefs. The world keeps changing into what you think it is. You are a very creative individual. Look what you've accomplished. Man's inhumanity to man. Wars. Nonsense going on in this world. And also beautiful things. Beautiful trees, mountains, rivers, lakes, oceans. But never forget you have created all of this. It comes out of you. Where else would it come from? Do you think there's some deity up in the sky who's created all this for you? Some sort of God that made all of this? Where does God come from? Except your own mind. Awaken and be free. This world is the same as a dream. It's no different. If you think it's impossible to be a dream, you take your dreams for granted. But think what's happening when you go to sleep and you dream at night. You live in this world while you're dreaming. Or someplace else. And in that dream you're having all kinds of experiences, good and bad. You can have a dream that you're a little girl, you grow up, you get married, you have children, Your parents die, they get old. There's a war, there's a famine, there's a hurricane. All sorts of things happen in your dream. You know, if I came into your dream and I told you you were dreaming, you would tell me I'm crazy. You wouldn't believe me. If I told you not to react to this world, not to react to conditions, not to react to personal place of thing in the dream, you would not listen to me. You would even pinch me and say, "See, Robert? You said, ow, I pinched you. So how can this be a dream?" You just don't realize it's a dream pinch. It's all going on in this dream. No matter how horrible the dream is, you'll wake up and it's gone. And you're at peace. And so it is with this world. This world is your dream. It may appear real. Everything appears real, so there's a dream when you're dreaming. Doesn't it appear real? You never know you were dreaming until you wake up. And so, as we practice self-inquiry, as we learn to be still, one day we will awaken. And we will find we're on eternal bliss. We're in eternal bliss, eternal peace, eternal happiness. It's all been a dream. Yet you have to come to this conclusion yourself. Why should you believe what I'm saying? You shouldn't believe what I'm saying. Why should you accept what I'm telling you? You shouldn't. You have to find out for yourself. You've got to prove it to yourself. And you can only do this by awakening. Not tomorrow, and not next week, but right this moment. To awaken. And you awaken by not identifying with anything. Not with the world, not with the God, not with the self. Awaken by becoming totally still and quiet in the mind. And as you become still, the mind becomes weaker and weaker and weaker. Until it's totally transcended. And then you are home free. You should start practicing in the morning when you get out of bed. In the morning is the best time to start as soon as you awaken. Become aware of yourself. Become aware of your environment. And question yourself. Who sees this? Who feels this? I do. This is a clue. Remember, every time you say I, you're not referring to yourself. I is separate from you. I is a troublemaker. in his eye makes you do the thing that you do. Therefore, when you say I do, do not believe that this I is you. Yet you didn't know where the I came from, so you inquire again, then who am I? Who is this I that thinks these thoughts, sees this world as objects? Where does I come from? And you keep still. You never answer that question. Due to the fact that you answer the question is the mind that's answering. The same mind that asks the question is the mind that answers the question. So not that you only get to answer the question. When the question will be full of concepts, the answer will be full of concepts, preconceived ideas. You become still and wait. Soon another source will come to you. Source that you're hungry, you have to get dressed. You have to hurry, you have to do this, you have to do that. Again, you inquire, to whom do these thoughts come? They come to me. Again, I think them. You're always getting back to that I. Then realize the I is not you. And again inquire, well, where does it come from? I say I all day long. Well, where does I come from? Where's its source? Remember, you're not identifying with the source of I. You're not identifying with anything. You're simply inquiring, where did the I come from? And you begin to trace the I back to the heart. The spiritual heart is on the right side of the chest, about 2 digits to the center. You trace the I back to the heart center. As you do this, you will find you becoming happier and happier again, more peaceful, more relaxed. You're taking control of your life. Everything becomes better. And you feel wonderful just by practicing this type of teaching. It's up to you. You can walk out of here this morning and say, that was an interesting lesson, interesting teaching. Or you can say the teaching is a bunch of crap, nonsense. Yet whatever you say, you still have to live with yourself. You still have to confront yourself. There's no getting away from the fact that you're getting older and older. You don't know when you're going to drop your body. Tomorrow, next week. You may have a heart attack. Anything may happen to you. So to pursue the material world is ignorance. This doesn't mean that you should live in a cave, give up your family or your friends and go to the jungle someplace in India. On the contrary, everything I'm referring to is then mentally. It is all accomplished mentally. What you call your body will take care of itself. It knows what to do and how to do it. As a matter of fact, if you get yourself out of the way, the body will achieve much more freedom, much more happiness than it can ever have while you're thinking. Do not concern yourself with the body. Leave the body alone. It's hard to understand how you can leave the body alone and take care of itself. All these years you think you've been taking care of it. But look at nature. Look at the leaves on the tree, the grass, the food that grows. There's a power that takes care of everything in this universe. The same power that takes care of everything takes care of what you call your body. It leads you to the right path. It guides you to the right place you're supposed to be. It takes care of you. But this only happens when you surrender your body, your ego, everything to the self. The way you surrender is by not reacting to life, not reacting to person, place, or thing. When you stop reacting, you surrender. And the power that knows the way will take care of your body. But you are not your body. You have absolutely nothing to do with your body. You are that consciousness, that joy, that happiness, that peace, that bliss. This is your real nature. You are Satchitananda, Brahman, the Absolute Reality. This is you. You have never been a frail human being. Awaken to your true self. Come on, awaken to your true self right now. Remove the concept that you've got problems or there's something wrong someplace. You live in a universe of joy, all-pervading joy, and you are that. So all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. There are no mistakes. You are not a sinner. Know this truth. Awaken to this truth. Be yourself. Be rejoice, you are free. Peace. It is now time to play Stump the Guru. We have a basket of questions. I don't know if we pass it around, we usually put some questions around. But we'll see what we can do. So Stump the Guru.
If consciousness is everywhere, how can it enliven a human body now, and how can a human body die and disintegrate because of no consciousness energy later, if consciousness is always everywhere? Question mark.
You're getting confused with both parties. You're getting confused with consciousness and a human being. They're both different categories. The human body does not exist at all. It's an illusion, hallucination. There's no such thing as a human being. It's a mirage. It's hypnosis. I know this sounds sort of strange to some of you, but it's the ultimate truth. You do not exist the way you appear to be. You have never existed and you will never exist. You're just not here. As strange as that sounds, true. Yet you are hallucinating, you see bodies, you see worlds, you see all kinds of things. I can assure you they do not exist. What we call consciousness is a reality. It is self-contained absolute awareness. It exists by itself without any needs, without any space or time. It just is. When you speak of consciousness, you're speaking of your true nature. This is what you are. You are the absolute reality. This is the original self. But yet we're looking at ourselves as human beings, as people, places, and things, which we're not. As if we're going to become very confused when you try to put them both together. When you go to sleep at night and you're in deep sleep, do you exist then? Who exists? As far as you're concerned, there's no universe and no people, because you've gone out of it. It's totally unconscious. But when you wake up, the world appears again. It appears out of your own mind. But you don't exist as a person in reality. Just as a word in the mirage is an hallucination, and instead as you see a mirage, you think it's water. When you grab it, you grab sand. It doesn't exist. Just as the sky is blue, it appears blue, but if you go into the atmosphere, there's no sky, there's no blue. It is an hallucination, optical illusion. We think all these things are true, real. They're all part of the false imagination. So we bypass the body We're not thinking about it, we're giving it any credit. We leave it alone. Instead, we try to make the mind still by identifying with person, place, and thing. We keep the mind steady, quiet. It becomes weaker and weaker, it will disappear. And when the body disappears, your true self will come into play. But don't confuse both worlds.
Lately, I am being meditated by an energy flowing in and through me. It feels right, like maybe this is how life should be. How does it sound to you? Is this the way life should be?
Sounds great. If it's helping you, it makes you feel better. It makes you more peaceful, more blissful. By all means, follow it through. Try to lose yourself totally and completely in consciousness. If your body is improving, let it improve. But always realize I am not the body. I am not a door. And that's what happens, happens. But by all means, this is helping you, continue doing it.
The other day, one of your disciples talked to me about your limitations as he saw it. I listened, enjoyed hearing different ideas and opinions. The next day I noticed I, who had felt very close to you and this path, felt like quitting, not looking for another teacher, just quitting. I was shocked at how easily doubt or thinking of dropping this devotee attitude and attendance at satsang could come to me. Can you explain why I so easily and quickly thought of quitting and giving up satsang attendance?
You should have doubt. You should investigate. You should never accept anything blindly at all. You shouldn't believe a word I say. Investigate yourself. The doubt is in you. It has nothing to do with me. You're doubting yourself. You're doubting your existence. As you see yourself as a divine being, as you begin to see yourself as a higher spiritual being omnipresent and all persuasive, then you'll see me like that too. Remember, a mirror cannot see itself, but see its reflection wherever it looks. Therefore, you're seeing yourself wherever you look. So if you see doubt, if you see apprehension, if you see something is wrong, it's coming out of you. You are that. Whatever you see, you have created. After all, I am nothing else but yourself. I am nothing different than you. I am your very essence, your very self. When you doubt, you doubt yourself. But do not look at me as something important. Look at me as yourself. For there's only one self. And one self is all pervading. That's all that exists. Isn't that me and you? There's only the one. When you become happy in the one, when you can become peaceful in the one, you become joyful in the one, then you'll see me as the one. Who you are that.
Since you are identified with the self, what causes your body to hang on, even in appearance?
Who sees this? Who asked the question? Forget about hanging on, forget about appearances. Go deep within yourself and find out who you are. Tendency is hanging on. Forget about all these things. Investigate yourself. It's always yourself. Everything comes out of yourself. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not hanging on to anything. There's nothing happening here. But you see something happening. Who is the seer? Who sees this? Find out.
To God and their different gurus for many years. Both of their gurus have died for some years now. Because they want to spend time with me and I do value them, I invited each discreetly to meet and experience you separately. One has openly rejected meeting you and rejected me for meeting another guru. The other ignored my invitation and merely continues to invite me to his functions. Why do both who have lost their human form guru ignore or refuse to even experience or meet one who means so much to me, a friend they revere and have highly respected for years? I only of them, wait a minute, I only realized the invitation to each of them, time and in a very respectful manner.
What a problem. Life's a bitch and then you die. What's all this about gurus and about me? It's not a social event. You're not trying to make your friends do something that you want to happen. All of the ideas that you're speaking of in your mind are your ideas. You think your friends have to meet me because you're coming here? Leave your friends to do what they want to do. Bless them and let them go. You do what you're supposed to do, let them do what they're supposed to do. You're not here to change anybody one iota. You're not here to try to convince anybody to do anything. As the old saying goes, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Everybody belongs wherever they belong. Stop pushing, stop fighting. Stop trying to change things. Keep your life simple. Don't make a big issue of these things. Everybody has their place. All is well. Do no mistakes. Everything is all right. live like that.
Was Christ a Jnani or a Yogi? Can a Jnani heal people like he did?
Never mind, Christ. Who are you? Where did you come from? What are you all about? Leave Christ alone. Leave the healing alone. Understand who you are. Try to find yourself. Then you'll understand Christ. By understanding Christ, but understanding yourself, will be folly. You'll never have the right answer. But by understanding yourself, you'll understand what Christ is all about. It always goes back to you. You are the one. Work within yourself. Ask yourself, from where all these thoughts come? Where all these mind-boggling thoughts come, these opinions, these questions? From where do they come? Who's thinking them? What is their source? Go back within yourself. Inquire within yourself. Find out for yourself. Makes no difference what I say. It's all up to you. You are the one. Dive deep within yourself, and everything will be revealed to you.
Can you explain what happens when a non-Jnani helps a Jnani? Or does anything to serve the Jnani in some manner? How is the life of the non-Jnani affected?
You're speaking of the guru, this type of relationship, I guess. There are certain people, perhaps from previous incarnations, were put here to be of service to spiritual teachers. And that way they themselves become enlightened and become totally free. There are certain people over here who are not supposed to do anything like this. Everybody's different. Every situation is different. There's a place and time for everything. Ask yourself, what am I supposed to do in this life, in this incarnation? What is my duty? Where do I belong? And you'll find out. You'll realize what you're supposed to do, where you're supposed to be. But leave everything alone until you move to do something. You will be moved by the power that knows the way. Then you'll do the right thing. But don't force yourself to do the thing that you're not sure of. Do not be of service to a spiritual teacher because it says so in books. This is what you're supposed to do. On the contrary, do what your heart tells you. Listen to your heart, and you'll never make a mistake. Be free within yourself. Know yourself. Worship yourself. Love yourself. Bow to yourself. For God dwells in you as you. You are the one. And if you do this, then you'll know what to do. And I realize it's worse.
Can you tell me what is creativity in doing a certain project or in being very imaginative? Also, what is talent to be able to do certain skills? Where does that talent come from? So I am asking you, what is, and we have three things, creativity, imagination, talent, and where do they come from? Thank you. Wow.
This is where they come from. Wow. All of these things come out of the mind. All creativity, talent, everything comes out of the mind. Where would it come from? Out of your own mind. The mind creates all these things for you. But are you the mind? That's the question. Is the mind really you? All the creativity that happens to you will one day have to cease. You'll be too old and feeble to work anymore, to be creative. You'll have Alzheimer's disease. You'll become senile. You'll fall apart at the seams. So what will happen to all of your creativity then? It'll be gone. Therefore, the smart person tries to understand where all this came from. Who am I? They ask themselves. Who is this person that needs all this talent or creativity? Where did I come from? Where did those ideas come from? As you begin to find yourself, what you call creativity, will take place by itself. It will happen by itself. You see, you came here for a certain purpose to this earth. Before you took on the body, you already knew what you were supposed to do here. So you're here for a certain purpose. Everything is preordained. Everything. You think you're creative, you think you're doing something new. It's all preordained. For instance, if you're a musician, before you came into this body, nobody knew you were going to practice music and become a great musician. If you're an artist, the same thing. It's all been preordained, prejudged, preconditioned, and you're here now playing the part. That's all you're doing, you're playing a part. It's all a game. Your real job is to become free of the whole thing. You become totally free, totally liberated. So find out the truth about yourself by inquiring, who am I? Where did I come from? What is my source? And then you'll see what happens. You'll be pleasantly surprised your creativity is going to take place by not thinking about these things, but by diving into yourself and finding out who you are. Do this and see.
In his book, The Play of Consciousness, the Swami Muktananda says, if one has not received the Guru's grace, the true nature of the universe will not be revealed. Does this mean that Shaktipat by a licensed Guru is required for spiritual illumination?
By a licensed Guru? Yeah,
I would think that.
So, can we see your license?
I'm a graduate of Guru U. I have my certificate of enlightenment. Shaktipat is Kundalini energy that's become active in the person. And goes through all kinds of strange positions and postures. This is nice to watch, but it's necessary. So we really need this. One of our people who come here by the name of Jonas has Shaktipat all the time when he sits down and he listens to what's going on. He goes through all kinds of hatha yoga experiences and bangs his head against the floor, there's all kinds of things. Turns black and blue. So what avail? What does this really do for you? It's all mental. It all comes from the mind. Remember, Kundalini, Shaktipat, Pranayama, mantras, Japa, all these things are in the mind. And the mind that creates all these conditions and these things too. So if you go into the mind and control your mind, and inquiring to when does the mind come? What is the source of the mind? You will find that you transcend everything. You go beyond everything. It's up to you. If you want to play games with yourself, go right to the top and graduate by becoming free. Always remember that it's the mind that creates everything. Every condition, every circumstance, everything is created by the mind. Your job is to transcend the mind and become totally free and liberated. It's all simple. It's not difficult. Even if you enjoy playing all these games, your privilege to do so. But it doesn't bring enlightenment. Enlightenment only comes when you have transcended everything in this world, in this universe, and your eye has been sublimated. When the eye is gone, you are totally free.
Robert, a yoni has transcended the body-mind. You said that there is no mind, but the body is still here. Any comments?
The body appears to be still here. As I mentioned before, it's an optical illusion. It's an appearance. Like a snake in a rope. And that's why I like to see a rope that coiled up and you think it's a snake. And you become very fearful. Then you find out it's really a rope. So it is with this world. This world is like the snake. It appears real. You become frightened. You do all sorts of things to protect yourself. There never was a snake. There never was a world. There never was a body. Find out for yourself. Dive deep within yourself. And become free.
Robert, when Ramana had his spontaneous awakening, he felt an urge to go into seclusion at Arunachala for years. Did you experience something similar when you had your awakening?
Well, the difference is my wedding was in the Bronx, New York. I'm different than in the cellar. But I had nothing in common with my friends any longer. I had nothing in common with my family. Everything changed. So I left home at a very young age and traveled to India and left New York and never came back again. But it's the same thing. There's no difference. Yeah.
Robert, last night while asleep, in the middle of a dream, it seemed like I had woke up, but everything was brighter and more vivid, and I felt more alive than in regular consciousness. My daughter walked into the room, and she was 8 years old. I said to myself, this is a dream, because in regular consciousness, she is 24 years old. When I woke up in the morning, I felt overwhelmed. Could you please comment?
It's a dream. Just like this world is a dream. There's nothing particularly important in this dream. You're simply dreaming about your daughter being 8 years old. There's no significance to this. It's just like in your life right now, you have an experience, there's a difference to the experience. It's a worldly experience. Do not put too much importance in dreams. For this life is a dream. When you dream, it shows you that the dream seems real. That's all a dream is good for. To make you understand that life is like a dream. When you dream, you have nice dreams, you have nightmares, you have all kinds of dreams. Same with this life. In this life you have bad experiences, good experiences, all kinds of experiences. But then it's your duty to go beyond the experience. To not just accept the experience, go beyond it. Go beyond everything. And you'll be totally free and liberated. If you identify with the experience, you try to change the experience, you work with the experience, you're wasting time doing this. For the experience always changes to other experiences. I have one experience after the other. So in quiet moments, this dream comes, so the experience comes. Finally, the experience there is that has this experience, that has this dream. Where does it all come from? What's the source of everything? The source of the dream, the source of the experience. Find that out and you'll be free. So again, not attach any particular significance to your dreams. I know you've written voluminous books about dreams. Occult people dwell in dreams. They try to make every dream a big thing. What's a dream? Just some experience that you're having. Like you're having experiences right now. While you're living, going to work, being depressed, being happy. Something like a dream. Accept nothing. Transcend everything and be free. Okay, we're all finished. Why don't you read the ending, Mary?
Thank you. For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchidananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A Jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. So we're having our meeting on Wednesday. Remember, this Thursday. Don't show up on Thursday unless you have Thanksgiving dinner with Henry.
I won't be here.
So be on Wednesday now. What else?
Emilio has finished putting together the 1990 transcripts of Robert's early talks. The finished copy will have a picture on the front. The cost is $20. There have only been 50 copies made, and quite a few of them have already been spoken for. So the book will be out next Wednesday, and you see Emilio for ordering it. And it is beautiful. And we're having the Bhandara. Pardon me? Oh, the price, I did say $20. And we're having a Bhandara the last Sunday in November and the last Sunday in December. It's a vegetarian feast, and it starts at 1 o'clock. And you're welcome to come. Bring a dish if you can. And then bring your friends and family. It should be very nice.
We're going to have music.
Oh, yes.
George is going to do a dance for us.
Not enough room.
We'll make enough room. There's a paper on the table that people can sign up and tell us what you're bringing, so we don't have everybody bringing salad.
Anyone have anything else to say before we hold your peace?
Will you sing at the Bandara, Mary? Please?
No.
Okay, then we'll call it off.
And George is going to dance. It's beautiful. We saw it yesterday. It was very, very nice. Very nice.
Pretty pleased.
I've got a little story I'm going to read.
You can sing too.
Yeah.
Play one of your tunes.
I'll play a tune then. Okay.
Nice music.
Yeah. I'll play a tune.
It's now time for prasad.